righty, what is going on? Welcome to the program. Pete Callender here, News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT. Man, I have got a crazy story about a North Carolina sheriff's race. And no, it's not actually about our sheriff, Gary McFadden, or Mecklenburg County. I want to welcome to the program Mark Starling. He is the morning show host and news director at WWNC Radio in Asheville, my former colleague. Hello, Mark. How are you?
I'm well, Pete. How are you?
I am doing all right. I am not too bad. So this is the race for Buncombe County Sheriff. Quentin Miller is the Democratic incumbent. It's not about him. It's not about the Democratic side. It's about the Republican candidate for North Carolina Sheriff, right? This or Buncombe County Sheriff, a fellow by the name of Jeff Worley, who just won the Republican primary on Tuesday night, correct?
Right. He won pretty much by 20 or so points.
Okay. So walk me through what exactly happened here in the days prior to the primary regarding some direct messages that he had been sending to women and a little side job he was running.
So apparently what happened was a local quote-unquote quasi news agency.
We'll get back to that to the quote news agency. What's the allegation here?
So apparently what happened was is that someone offered this candidate a social media scrub. Essentially, they were willing to go through their social media site, make sure that there was nothing, you know, incriminating, but anything that would cause a blip in the radar while you were running for election.
Sure.
And essentially what this person did was they went in and they, you know, they found a few posts or whatever, and they took them down. But then they also decided to go through his personal messages and start screenshotting conversations with different people. That included pictures and some other things. And, apparently the accusation is that this candidate was running a side business selling adult toys.
Right, a company called Sensations Parties, which is,
correct,
from what I understand, it's like a multi-level marketing thing. It's like a Tupperware deal, Tupperware parties, but with sex toys.
Right, it's a Tupperware party for adult toys, basically.
Exactly. All right. So, all indications are that this was a business that now he's retired out of law enforcement at this point, right?
Correct. He retired from the North Carolina Highway State Patrol.
All right. So he's doing this side hustle, and he is having adult conversations with consensual people. They are all of age, these women, and he's chatting with them, and there appears to be some swapping of photos that are X-rated.
Photos and conversations, essentially.
Okay.
So those screenshots are then turned over to a quasi-news agency.
Mm-hmm.
And this news agency decided to create a story and kind of a narrative behind it and post it just the day before the primary election.
Now, the quasi-news website, they have a particular interest in this case, right, or this election, because they were the people that run it, or the person that runs it. He's backing one of Jeff Worley's opponents in the primary, right?
Correct. Well, now, the news agency says they're not supporting anybody, but it happens to be the news agency owner's wife, who her car is wallpapered with these opponent stickers in support of the opponent. And just so you have an idea, they did do a feature story on the opponent as well, and they found that his service record was completely clean.
Oh, yeah, because they do that for everybody. They do background investigations on everybody. So this person who offered to scrub the social media page that then took the screenshots and then handed them off to the quasi-news agency, is that person part of the news agency, friends with the quasi-news agency, or what?
There is some sort of a connection there. Now, whether or not the news agency will tell you that they are a source, others will say, no, that person actually has worked for them in the past.
Okay. So this then culminates in former sheriff Van Duncan gets very angry at this quasi-agency for posting the pictures and suggests, hey, you guys may have violated the law in posting that stuff, and gives them the general statute. And as I understand it, and I'll let you tell it, did this culminate just coincidentally at the Madison Cawthorn watch party the other night on Tuesday?
Correct. Essentially what happened was, the representation for this candidate, their legal representation, put together a cease and desist letter and some court papers and whatnot. And they served it to the owner of this news agency, who is also a rabid Madison Cawthorn supporter. It kind of goes to hand in hand with being at the watch party, covering it from a strictly news angle, of course.
Sure. No blurring of the lines there.
No blurring of lines. They served him the papers there at the event. So, and we are told that there are likely more charges, felony charges coming.
Because the gossip or theory that I have heard and I've been reading the stories and the comments on the Facebook and such, is that they know who this person is that was hired to scrub the website. And it seems like there is this belief that she tried to pull a Project Veritas, if you will. She went in with the motive to try and damage his campaign, then took the personal stuff off of Facebook Messenger, which is a separate app, by the way. That's a separate thing on you got to get access to versus just Facebook. So if you're on the app, you got two different apps. And so she went into that one, which apparently Worley did not give her permission to, but she went in there, took all the screenshots, and then handed them off to the quasi-news agency.
Yes, and then magically they appeared at the quasi-news agency somehow.
Right.
This is the same. Now, mind you, this is the same news agency that 3 months ago, I believe it was about 3 months ago, created a storyline that six firefighter EMTs overdosed on cocaine laced with fentanyl at the Grove Park Inn, and published a huge story on it, to which it caused a massive meltdown. I actually ended up speaking with the shop steward of the Palm Beach County Fire Rescue Union. To which he told me there's about 2,400 firefighters that are ready to kill that guy, because not only were none of their members in Asheville, none of them were at the Grove Park, and certainly none of them overdosed on fentanyl-laced cocaine.
So this is this is a pattern with this fella. So, Mark, can you stick around and we'll take a little bit of a deeper dive into the quasi-news agency? All right, cool. I appreciate it. This is Mark Starling. He is the morning guy and the news director at WWNC Radio up in Asheville. News Talk 1110-993 WBT, the Pete Callender Show. Joining me is Mark Starling. He's the morning host and news director at WWNC up in Asheville. Former colleague who's been covering their elections up there. And there was a primary for the Republican challenger to emerge to run against the incumbent sheriff in Buncombe County, where Asheville is located. So this candidate who won, his name is Jeff Worley. He's a Republican, retired law enforcement. He is outed now as one who has been selling sex toys in a multi-level marketing kind of a program called Sensations Parties. And then he had sexting messages with women all above age. It doesn't seem to be anything illegal going on there. He hires somebody to scrub some of his social media. She gets the keys to his Facebook kingdom and takes pictures of his sext messages and then hands them off to a quasi-news agency. I don't even like calling it. It's a blog. And so hands it off to a Facebook-based blog, and they publish it at the website. They then get served, the owner of said blog gets served while attending Madison Cawthorn's victory party. So, Mark, let's talk a little about the blog and the blogger. This guy who set it up, and I'm loath to even give them any kind of publicity at all, But
we need to.
I feel like
that horrible of a sight. I mean, it is literally like a the skid mark on the underwear of Buncombe County, basically, is what the sight.
Oh my goodness. Oh my gosh. All right. So this guy, basically, if you want to, well, all right. This fella, he is the stepson of the former late state senator Martin Nesbitt. His name is Chad Nesbitt. And he was a Republican Party chairman in Buncombe County, like, I don't know, 15 years ago or something. And he has what I used to refer to as the Nesbots. He has a very motivated, animated group of followers. And he decided to harness this Nesbot mob and get them all misinformed with his Skyline News. That's the name of this entity. And the misspellings are almost as bad as the content. So among the things that now I will say, he went down and covered the protests and got punched out. Remember, he got knocked out by a protester, an Antifa guy, got a lot of coverage for that. He also, credit where it's due, he went down there and took pictures of the Buncombe County facility. It was like a stairwell, stairway to hell or something like that, right? Where all the junkies and homeless people were sitting in like the hallway between the library and the courthouse, and they were just like treating it like their encampment, right? So he did do some of that stuff. He does go out to the field and gather stories. I will say that about it. But
the biggest problem is, though, he creates his own narrative behind it. So, you know,
true.
Regardless of what the truth actually is, it always has to play in his favor or his narrative in some way, shape, or form.
And he does have a narrative. And
does he ever? Yeah.
He has a narrative, and he takes liberties with facts and truth. And this was part of the problem and part of the reasons why he's now got to move his site off of Facebook. Apparently, they don't let him live stream, and he does a lot of live streaming. He is fond of the hostage video genre, I think. He likes to sit in his SUV and film himself and video himself as a live stream, and these are his, quote, reports. I did think it interesting. I watched the report that he issued in response to this story and the accusation that he and the source for these pictures have potentially violated criminal law, but may be also open to this civil action. And the law is that he's citing is that there's an exception that these disclosures of private images fall under the exceptions because the disclosures are made in the public interest. What do you think of that argument?
Personally, number one, I think we have to start from the legality side of things. It is not illegal to sell adult sex toys. Doesn't matter who you are, number one. And number two, all of the conversations that he was having were with people who were obviously willing to be having those conversations. They were all adults. There's no sort of ethical or moral violation there. And I would argue that why was it in the, what interest is it of the public? I mean, how many people have side gigs these days? I mean, he might have to sell adult toys just to afford gas.
Maybe, there you go. See, I see what you did there. Look, and maybe he's very good at it, right? And maybe he has found a product that he's very good at selling. It doesn't matter to me. I don't care about this, but I do find it interesting because in, in Chad Nesbitt's video, he talks about how the media always is advancing narratives, and that's precisely what he does. And he has a warped idea of what journalism is, because if you got the information and you are a legitimate journalistic outfit, you try to confirm the information through other means. And he could have done that easily enough, right? He could have easily enough confirmed some of the information, but what did he want to do? He wanted to post the pictures, right? He wanted to put them up there to embarrass and to intimidate this candidate. Now, that to me says, like, that is a clear violation of that law.
Well, I would think that the fact that, you know, he's tied to the other campaign, there's mm-hmm. no question about it. I mean, it's not hard to see by just look at the back of his wife's car. you know, when the opponent's stickers are all over the back of your car, I'm pretty sure you're not able to remain neutral. So, you know, his vested interest was getting his friend elected. I think that's the long and the short of it.
Yeah. Mark Starling, he is the morning host and the news director at WWNC in Asheville. My former colleague, good to talk with you, Mark. Thanks for the info. I appreciate it.
You know, Pete, I got an email from a listener of yours today that said, "Hey, Mark, thanks for keeping up with Pete's vocab and continuing the use of the word votainer."
Yes, I heard you used votainer. Thank you. You see, it's all part of my great migration back to Charlotte. I'm just spreading the votainer message. That's what it's all been about.
There you go.
All right, Mark.
Good to talk to you, man.
All right, buddy. Appreciate it. Take it easy. All this time you thought, man, our sheriff's situation's kind of messed up. But no, Buncombe County, it's kind of messed up too. Oh, did you see the sheriff up in Wake County lost? Gerald Baker? So Buncombe and Wake, I think the fella in Durham and in Mecklenburg here, they were all kind of part of this effort to get far left progressive black Democrat sheriffs elected. This was part of, and by the way, this is also occurring with district attorneys. I went over this the other day, right? The left figured out that if you can just run one or two candidates in one or two of these races, sheriff's office, district attorney, you don't need to go through the difficult task of quote unquote criminal justice reform. You could just not enforce rules. You can just not charge people or drop charges or whatever. Like, you can cut plea deals. You can let people out of jail. You could do all sorts of stuff that's within your purview, because the rules were written for people that it was assumed wanted the job because they wanted to keep people safe. And yeah, somewhere along the lines, we've kind of gone off that rail. So, yeah, I thought the tie-in here to the Buncombe Sheriff's Office or Sheriff's race, this is a Republican up there. He's a Republican candidate who has essentially been outed as a sexter. And they took his pictures and that he was sexting with this other woman. And as far as I know, he's not married. So they're consenting adults. And they were swapping pictures, and somebody that apparently they know who it was took screenshots of these naked pictures, and then they posted them up onto this website. And the website is run by the stepson of, I think I said stepson earlier, I hope I didn't say son-in-law. He's the stepson of former state senator Martin Nesbitt from Asheville. Longtime Democrat, but this guy, Chad, is not a Democrat. He's a Republican. And he would do things around town like print out mug shots of people and say that these are all of the people that are being released from the jails, or he would print out all these mug shots saying these were all, I think it was illegal aliens who were charged with crimes and such. And when someone in the media actually went and ran photo searches on the mugshots, it turned out, no, they were not. They were just ripped off of a website that's, you know, is your mugshot here website? Have you ever seen these websites where they just post the mugshots from all over the place and then you have to pay them to get your mugshot scrubbed from their site? It's basically an extortion racket. And that's what this guy Nesbitt did. He took these pictures and asserted them to be people that they were not, or connected to a particular issue when they were not. And I had my run-ins with the guy as well when I was up there, full disclosure. He tried to convince me that dropping a possum inside of a clear plexiglass case and then lowering it on New Year's Eve as part of the possum drop celebration at Clay's Corner, Western North Carolina, that this was a, to use his words, quote, centuries old tradition. And when I questioned whether it was actually a centuries-old tradition or it was a marketing scheme cooked up by the shop owner at Clay's Corner, and like he tells you that it was a marketing plan to get people to come to Clay's Corner on New Year's Eve, and it became this thing about 30 years prior. And then when I presented that information versus a centuries-old tradition, Mr. Nesbitt accused me of being a Yankee who just didn't understand nor appreciate Appalachian culture. That's what he said. And I was attacking all Appalachians because I said, I don't understand the allure of catching a possum, sticking it in a box, lowering it on New Year's Eve, and shooting fireworks off all around it. And then also holding a drag contest. I think it's called Little Miss Watermelon or something like that, where the dudes get dressed up in drag and they have a beauty contest, which I'm not sure. Are you allowed to do that anymore? Or are you encouraged to do that? It's so hard keeping track of the rules. It really is. Yeah, so Mr. Nesbitt and I do not get along. Although I will say, 1 year after we had the great possum drop debate, at the studio up in Asheville, we did get a stuffed possum. It's a little plushy, a little stuffed animal, not like a stuffed one, like taxiderm. Like, we didn't get that. Somebody, I believe Phil Berger and Tom Tillis, I think they got an actual taxidermed possum. I'm pretty sure about that because in one of their Zoom interviews, you could see it in the background. It was like mounted up on the wall. And because they passed a law, and this is what actually prompted the whole thing. They passed a law in the General Assembly to give a carve out to their animal abuse laws, to give a carve out for this one location for 1 week out of every year, so as to allow the catching of the possum to occur, and then the hoisting and the lowering and then the releasing of said possum. They wanted to give a carve out, and when that ruling came down, I said, I don't know how you do that, because the judge said you can't give an exception for one geographic location for 1 week out of the year. That's not a consistent application of the law. And I said, I tend to agree with the judge. And unfortunately, that means I'm now in agreement with the PETA people who had sued. And I don't like ever having to agree with PETA on anything. But here I am. Here I was. And that's what prompted the Nesbots to swarm. And so now there's a real question. Disclosure of private images. 14-195.A. That is the North Carolina general statute. A person is guilty of disclosure of private images if all of the following occurs: that they knowingly disclose the image of another person with the intent to coerce, harass, intimidate, demean, humiliate, or cause financial loss to that person. So, check. The depicted person is identifiable. Check. The depicted person's intimate parts are exposed. Check. And check. The person discloses the image without the affirmative consent of the depicted person. Check. And the person obtained the image without consent. Check. You have met all of the criteria now to be guilty of disclosure of private images. Congratulations, Chad. Couldn't happen to a better guy. News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. By the way, in studio after the 1 o'clock news, we'll be hanging out with John Hood. He's now got, I think it's up to eight or nine books he's written. His latest ones are out. But he's also, you know, political commentator and such. He's something emeritus or something of the John Locke Foundation. I will get his official title when he gets in here. But we're going to talk a little bit about his books and about the elections and whatever else pops into my mind, and you never know what that could be. So I thought it was important to bring you the story of the poop show that is occurring in Buncombe County with that sheriff's race. Just you know, misery loves company. And with our sheriff now easily winning in the Democrat primary, despite all of the problems, and I didn't even get into this with Mark Starling earlier, but I don't even think our sheriff has presided over a jail with as many deaths as the Buncombe County one has. I think they've got more deaths up there than we do, and they're much smaller. So Gary McFadden, our sheriff, he should look into a comparison there. He should compare his jail with the Buncombe jail to find out if he's got fewer deaths. Then he could come out and say, look, this is totally not my fault. Everybody is suffering from this. You know, like all the staffing shortages and people quitting because they don't want to work for him. But that's not his fault. It's all from COVID. And so he could say that, too. He could say, look, it's COVID. That's why people in the jail are killing themselves and such. And look, we're not even as bad as Buncombe County. They're way worse than us. At least we're not Buncombe. That's what he could say. Of course, in Buncombe, there aren't sex assaults occurring in their courthouse where the deputies are tasked with performing security duties. That happened here, too. That is one of the jobs that the sheriff's office is supposed to be doing, you know, running security for the courtrooms and the courthouse. And there was an assault that occurred there the other day, Tuesday afternoon, 12 o'clock, 12:15 in the afternoon. On the eighth floor, a female victim said a male suspect knocked on the door at the area of mental health office. She opened it. She recognized him. He came into the room. He began hitting her in the head. He was identified as 24-year-old Devontae Johnson, who is a registered sex offender. He then ran out of the office and the courthouse. Following the assault, the victim suffered bruising and swelling to her face and was treated on site by medic. Now, he was arrested yesterday morning. Oh, he's out already. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I don't know if he's out. It's a secured bond. It's $590,000 in a secured bond. So, I mean, I don't know if it's because the attack occurred at the courthouse and maybe the people that work at the courthouse, like the judges that let everybody else go when they assault you, maybe it's a little bit closer to home for some of them. And so they want to throw the book at this person, or maybe he just happened to want run into the only judge that maybe gives these kinds of secured bonds. I don't know. I'm not sure. I am pretty shocked that he's on a secured bond, and I'm pretty shocked that the sheriff just didn't cut him loose initially. But some bad pub over the last few days. Pub that's not, it's not even enough for the vote buying bus to overcome. Right? The vote buying, you know what that was, right? The Wi-Fi bus, the schoolhouse bus, the classroom bus, right? Where he took concealed carry permit holder money and upfitted a bus to then drive around and give Wi-Fi to the school children. You can say that's a great project. You can say it's a benefit, and I would tend to agree. It's a good idea. I would submit we probably should have used, you know, private donations to do something like that. But I do have a problem when he does it right before an election, and he's got all of these other problems going on at the jail with his leadership. So to me, it's quite obvious what that was about. It was to distract people and buy support in particular areas where the bus would go. Also, I'm particularly cheesed off by the fact that he used the concealed carry money to do it, because a Superior Court judge has issued a preliminary injunction enjoining the sheriff from further delays related to the pistol permits. So he's been taking people's money and then not giving them the permits, to the point where he's now been sued and a judge has actually told him, hey, you need to be issuing these permits. He has to process the pistol purchase permits within the 14 days required by state law and process the concealed carry permit applications within the 45 days as required by state statute. People have been waiting months. In some cases, I heard one friend said that 10 months it's taken her to get her permit. She's already gone through the classes, everything. 10 months. Yeah, so it's hacked me off just a little bit.